And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, to be here, knowing, Lord, that time is running out. And Father, we see so many just things happening that are bringing all of our thoughts and mind to know that we are at the end time. And it looks like possibly a delay, but I don't think so. So Lord, we're just not focusing on those things, but we're focusing on you and our readiness. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Good to see you all this morning. This will be number 205 in our series. It's on February Minister's Questions. There's 11 questions in total. There was actually 12. A last one was sent in, but actually I kind of incorporated it into another one because it was basically the same thing, only a little bit more delineation on what that was. So the first we read, "Greetings, Brother Brian. May God bless you. To bless your life, your ministry, your congregation, and family." In this quote, Brother Branham, he tells us that babies are saved. Now, I believe this is from South America. Quote number one, questions and answers. In fact, I know it's from South America, it's from Brazil. Question and answers on the Holy Ghost. "But now let us say this. We know that babies that die, regardless of their parents, they are saved. Now, I disagree with the school of prophets on that. They said if it died with a parent that was sinful, that the baby would go to hell, rot away, and there'd be no more of it. Well, John said, said that when Jesus come, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And if that baby was a human being, which would have to come under the judgments of God, and Jesus died to take away the sin, all sin was expelled before God when Jesus died for that purpose. Your sins were forgiven. My sins were forgiven. And the only way that you can ever be forgiven is to accept his pardon. Now, the baby cannot accept his pardon, so it hasn't done nothing. It hasn't done nothing at all. So it is absolutely freely to go to heaven. Now, my question is, according to the teaching of seed, the soul of the elect is God's genes and parts of God, but the soul of the serpent seed is in the world and will perish with the world. What happens when a baby whose soul is not God's genes dies today?" Now, that's a very good question. It shows that these people are actually thinking. Okay? So I thank you in advance for your attendance. May God, attention, may God bless you, Brother Marcio Tobias from Brazil. Well, answer to question number one, we know that our prophet said, and we also know that they will be raised up after the millennium. When? I don't know. I mean, it could be 1,000 years, could be, like Brother Branham, Brother Vale said, could be thousands, because the word millennia means it's a plural. So we know that every child born and taken from this earth will be raised up in the general resurrection for sure. They will be judged by whether they were in God's mind or not. Then at the end of the millennium, all will be judged at the white throne except the elect of God. They will sit with Christ in his throne and help in the white throne judgment. Now, you say, well, won't they be raised up? Well, yeah, they'll be raised up. They won't come as babies. They'll come as their 16 to 20-year-old person. However, they'll be given opportunity to either accept or reject. And that's, you know, at the resurrection. And so they'll make up their minds at the white throne. Okay, or by the time the white throne hits, okay? The scripture is very plain that the saints shall judge the earth. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 2, it says, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest of matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels, how much more the things that pertain to this life? Again, from question and answers being misunderstood, Brother Bram said, now, Were the five of the virgins lost? I presume that they were asking the question, the five virgins, the five wise, and the five foolish virgins. Now, if you were with us in the last teaching in Revelation, you'll find out that these that those virgins, the five foolish virgins, were not lost. They were not permitted to go into the wedding supper, but they suffered persecution and was martyred and raised again at the general resurrection in the last day. Okay, but they're not lost. Okay, they're lost to the rapture. All right, but they're not lost as an individual. Now, those are the people where he separated the sheep from the goats. See, they stood before the judgment. You say, well, Brother Branham, don't we stand the church? No, sir. We do not stand before the judgment. We are standing before the judgment now, okay? He doesn't say no, but he just says in the paradox, he says, we're standing before the white throne now. God put our sins upon Christ he that heareth my word, and of course the word heareth means to understand. So he that understandeth my word, St. John 5:24, and believeth on him that sent me has eternal life and shall not come into the judgment, but has passed from death unto life. Okay? Of course, you have to have the Holy Ghost in order to understand the word. Now, no more judgment for the church is took up in the rapture and comes back to pass judgment upon the people who did not receive the Holy Spirit. Does not Paul say that he declares any of us to take a matter to court to the unjust magistrate? When know ye not that the saints shall judge the earth? We will sit with Christ and judge kings and priests, judge these people that we preach to and told them about the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they refused to receive it. Now think of it. No, they were not lost, but they will never be in the bride. They will come in the second resurrection, but never be in the bride, to be judged according to the way they treated the light that they received. Now that part will be up to Christ. They were not lost, though. So you're sitting here, you're sitting before the white throne now because you're judging yourself by the word, okay? They have refused the word, the further light of the word, and so they will have to be judged for that. Now, from the first seal, Brother Brown said, don't Paul say, I dare you, talk to the bride, having any manner or grievance against each other, that you go to the unjust law. Don't you know the saints shall judge the earth? So there you are. The saints is going to judge the earth and take it over. That's right. You say, well, how in the world is a little group like, I don't know how it's going to be done, but he said it's going to be done. So just that just settles it, as far as I know. Now look. I'd just like to also add, look, they might have all the wealth of the world. They might have their beautiful mansions, their cars, or this, that, and the other. But the saints shall inherit the earth. So it doesn't matter. You know, you've given it to them on loan, but they're going to owe it to you, okay? I like to think of it that way. Now, from Revelation chapter 4, 24 elders. All right, just a minute, 24 elders. Then let's just get them right quick now, around about the throne, and where the 20 around the throne now. You see where's the throne at now? In the heart. In the heart of who? The members of the seven church ages, Christ. Speak a word against their action, you're condemned. See, that's why it's very, you got to be very careful not to be using foul language or using names and calling people down. And if you don't like what they're doing, it doesn't matter. Okay, what matters is either they're elect or they're not. And if they are elect and you're calling them names, you're going to have to answer for that. Okay, you'll answer for it the day of judgment, he says. Well, that tells us one thing. If you're using names like that, you're not going to be there. You're going to be standing in the judgment and not sitting with the bride to judge. So you better start judging yourself now by the word, okay? And who will judge the earth? The saints shall judge the earth. Who did Daniel see coming with tens of thousands times thousand, ten, ten thousands? The saints. And the books were opened. See? Sinners. Another book was opened, which was the book of life, the sleeping virgin. Oh my, can't you see that? The sleeping virgin, them that went out to meet the bridegroom and let the oil go out of their lamp. Now remember, lamp is your vessel. Never entered into this. Never let Christ take control. They never let Christ take control so he could work miracles and speak with tongues and do wonders and things to prove that he lived in his church. See, these are people who are, they're void of spirit, number one. They don't have the Holy Ghost, or he's taken his flight. Number two, they don't let God have preeminence and control. That's what control means, preeminence, so that they can do the things God asked them to do in John 14:12. Okay? They think it's full. That's okay. That's for Brother Branham. That's not for me. No, it's for you. And I've got some pretty good messages on that coming up. You see why John 14:12 is so important to the elect. And from that time, he said, I'm going to have to meet him or them. And now when I appear there, if it's by thine mercy that I should stand with the redeemed, I'll either have to be a judge against these people or a judge for them. For the saints shall judge the earth. Now listen, if you don't think you're going to be judged for the things that you say, you've got another thing coming. The saints shall judge the earth. Now you might not like the saints. You might not like their personality. You might not like the way that they don't bow down to you or say, you know, or just, you know, kiss, kiss, kiss. I don't care. That makes no difference. They're standing on the word, period. Either they're standing in the word and they're elect or they're not. All right? So you don't say things. All right? For the saints shall judge the earth. When all of them in my generation that rises up from Phoenix in that day, if by your grace I'll be there, then I'll have to say, I was in Phoenix, I preached in your generation. I never knew you. Jesus said, I never seen your hand go up. I never seen you offer one thing. You stayed from meeting to meeting. You heard about it and you didn't come. I called you and you refused to go. So every minister of the gospel will have to stand with those people they preach to. Now I preached in 60 or 59 countries to many hundreds of thousands of people. All right, at least 350 ministers, and then they all have, some people have thousands in their church. Now listen, I preached to them. There's no excuse for them. At the white throne, I'll say, yeah, but you were there. I saw you. And you didn't receive it. Oh God, what more can I say? Because this Holy Spirit is a true judge. And then there be those, Lord, here tonight, who would raise up in their hands and they would say that they never had that experience. And they want to get to a place to where they can say, from this time, they met God and had an experience that changed their life. I hope we have all had that experience. And we're moving on with God. From the 10 virgins, he said, and here comes back for the judgment upon the nations. Paul said, dare any of you all go to court that has a matter against one another, can't take care of these little things, knowing not that the saints shall judge the earth. Here's a judgment that had been given over to Christ and his saints. They're the attorneys in the box. There he sits at the throne. Here's the bride, the attorney, and here comes these up. And the books were opened in another book, which is the book of life. Now, the first book was the book of the sinner that was cast away. All right, he's condemned to begin with. There's the goats. He don't even have a chance. He's a sinner to begin with, all right? Now, he's cast away. So some of the children that have died are goats. They're cast away. But some of them were innocent children. And they're not goats. And they'll come up at the white throne. Because they'll be given an opportunity to receive this light. Now there you are to the question a while ago, see, at the judgment seat. Jesus, the church, the bride, was raptured, went up into glory, and was up there and was married, returned back to the earth, and lived 1,000 years. At the end of the 1,000 years, was loosed out of his prison, that is bound by an angel with chains, not a log chain, but a chain of circumstances. All of his subjects was in hell. All right? So when that resurrection takes place, you know, we're thinking resurrection immediately, white throne. No. How about resurrection and people, the 16, they come up at 16. They're not going to be born. They're going to come up around 16 to 20 years old. And then at 16 or 20 years old, you know, most of us made our choice for God around 20, 21. All right? So God gives them some time now, maybe a year, maybe 10 years, maybe 100 years. We don't know. But at the end of the millennium, at the end of the thousands of years, okay? At the end of the 1,000 years, Satan was loosed out of his prison, all right? And like Brother Brad said, it was not a log chain that held him. It was a chain of circumstances. He couldn't, all of his subjects was in hell. All that was resurrected on the earth was redeemed and Jesus with them. He couldn't work on nothing. But at the end of the 1,000 years, the second resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has a part in the first resurrection, over which the second death has no power. So don't think that you're going to make it into the millennium and then somehow you're going to get lost. It says the second death has no power. You've already got eternal life. You've already got it now. You've already got it now. Just think about that. You've already got it now. And the books were opened, the book of the sinners, and another book was opened, which was the book of life, and every man was judged thus by the bride. Know you not, taking these little matters before the law, know you not that the saints shall judge the earth? See? All right. And from the breach, he says, he leaves the throne of the to-be intercessor as a slain lamb to be a lion king, to bring the world to judgment who has rejected his message. He's not a mediator. Remember the Old Testament teaching now, as we hurry, when the blood went off the mercy seat, what was it? Judgment seat. And when the Lamb slain walked forward from eternity out of the Father's throne and took his rights, it was a judgment seat. Then he became not a lamb, but a lion, a king. And he calls his queen to come stand by his side. Know ye not that the saints shall judge the earth? Okay, these are just different quotes saying the same thing, but just you learn by rote, okay? So from question and answers, he said, now, this bride went up, the remnant left here, and she is the one who come in the second resurrection. The bride went up, but the remnant who is left here went up in the second resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection, on which the second death has no power. Again, there you go. Second death has no power. God is not going to take you so far and then drop you off. He's got you to the end. He that began the good work shall finish it. See, that's right. The second resurrection will be the white throne judgment, then the church. Don't you know, Paul said, go amongst the unbelievers and the lawyers and so forth when the saints shall judge the earth. These matters should be judged before the church, not before the unjust magistrates and so forth, but before the church our matters should be. There you take one another to the law, and God pity a man that'll take a Christian to the law. That's right. Paul even dared them to do it. Now, that's the bride, and there goes the sleeping virgin left on the earth. The wise virgin goes to heaven with oil in her lamp. I know he could spend a lot of time on that, but I'm going to have to hurry to get through this. From question and answer, he said, now, will children be born during the 1,000 years millennial reign? Okay, that's a question. That's the question in my mind that I told you the other day. I don't know. It looks a whole lot like it could be. So let me just pause here and give a Bible reason why it could be, okay? We're going to give you both why it could and why it can't, all right? From Isaiah 65:17, for behold, I create new heavens and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But ye shall be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of the tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. And they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. Now, it doesn't say the offspring are born there. It just says that they will be there. In other words, look, you might have children. That's your offspring. You might have children that never came to this earth because they were not aborted, but they were, you had a miscarriage, okay? It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall lie down, shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, said the Lord. Now, when he says holy mountain, it sounds like New Jerusalem, right? So this scripture would make you think that either children will be born of the seed of the Lord, but it speaks of the new heavens and new earth. Yet, when it talks of the lion lying down with the lamb, it hints at the millennium. So where are we at? Okay, so a vindicated prophet settles the question for us. From he that is within you, Brother Branham said, now when the lion was created, he was a friend of man. It's the devil that makes him do that. That's right. In the millennium, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock and shall lay down like the bullock. They'll not hurt or destroy in the millennium. That's what he just said. The devil will be gone. It's the devil that makes wild beasts tear and rip and eat and things like that the way that they do. It's Satan that does that, but greater was he that was in Daniel than he that was in the lion. See, greater was he in that prophet than he that was in the lion. All right? And from Shalom, he said, there will be a millennium. The old will be young there forever. Sickness will fade away and death will be no more. And they shall build houses and they shall inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit thereof. They'll not plant and another inhabit. His son take it. His son will be living by him. Isn't that wonderful? Your sons will be living right with you or close to you. He says by them. He'll not plant... and another eat, die off, and somebody else take it, but he will live there. He will live there. Amen. Blank spot on the tape. The bullocks and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the child shall lead them around. There'll be innocence. There'll be nothing could hurt. We'll be changed from what we are now to that glorious image of the Son of God, which is immortal. Years can never touch him. Age can never do anything to him. He's the immortal Son of God. So we know that we're at the end time, we're at the junction, all these things thoroughly identified. So will it be identified again? And from the sixfold purpose of Gabriel's visit to Daniel, he said, let's take now what will take place during that time. Oh, do you love it? Let's turn to Isaiah 65. So he's reading from Isaiah 65. Just a minute. Just too good to skip by. It's just too good to leave. Might be a little hot, but let's just keep moving. Isaiah 65. And listen what will take place during that time. And just ask yourself, sinner friend, if you could afford to miss it. Isaiah 65, let's just begin with about the 17th verse. Now listen, everybody close now. This is during the time of the millennium. So it's Isaiah 65 and millennium. He says, what I say. When the Most Holy is anointed. For behold, I will create new heavens and new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into the mind. But be glad and rejoice even in that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem. That's New Jerusalem. A joy in her people, a joy. What is the anointing? The joy of the Lord. Create a Jerusalem, a joy, and her people, a joy, and I will rejoice in Jerusalem. The king in the throne, on the royal majesty of the throne, the eternal throne, and the eternal people with an eternal joy in an eternal city. Oh my. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall no more be heard in thee, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence infant of days, so no infants, nor an old man that has not fulfilled his day. For the child shall die 100 years old, but a sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and shall eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. That is, you die and your son takes your place. That won't happen. And build another and inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat thereof. For as the days of the tree shall the days of my people and my elect shall long enjoy the works of their hand. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. They are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offsprings with them. And it shall come to pass, therefore, that before they call, I will answer. That glorious anointing is behind the cherubims. I'll answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Can you miss it? No. Okay, that's from Brother Branham. Now back to what Brother Branham was saying to answer the question whether there will be children born in the millennium. He said, I don't know. So if he doesn't know, we should say the same thing. Now, we might have said differently in the past because we didn't know, but now we have to line up with what the prophet says. It looks a whole lot like it could be. Those are in blue. That's the prophet's words. And I just gave you some reasons why it is possible. But then he said, it looks a whole lot like it couldn't be. And I'm going to be as honest with you as I know how to do. Or how to be. I don't know to this time. If God ever reveals it, I will tell you. Now, I believe if you have that question in your mind, ask him when he has his tent here. You'll have your chance. So that is an answer we can ask him if the tent, in the tent, if we make it that far. But I can give you reasons why he doesn't think so also. From question and answers, will the church go who died during the tribulation period, see, be in the resurrection, the second resurrection. Will they also wait until the resurrection of the ungodly? The just and the unjust shall be raised at the same time. Will they live again during the millennium? No. And the rest of the dead live not for the end of 1,000 years. Now, that's pretty short, but so that's one. Now, again, for question and answer on the Holy Ghost. Now, here's one that's really a sticker question. I think it's the same person because it looks like the same handwriting. If a person must have the Holy Ghost to be converted and go to the rapture, what will be the state of children that have died before the year of accountability, and when will they rise up? Now, my brother and sister, I cannot tell you. There's no scripture on it in the Bible as far as I can find it. But I can express my thoughts. Now, this will strengthen you that believes in grace of God. You see, the person wants to know, which is a very good question, see. The person wants to know what resurrection, what will happen to a baby that if he has to have the Holy Ghost in order to go in the rapture. As I have said, that's right. That's according to the Bible. That's the teaching of the scripture. Not to go to heaven because the Holy Ghost filled people is in the first resurrection of the elect. So yes, go to heaven. No, go in the rapture. You've got to have the Holy Ghost to go in the rapture. If the baby died, a baby doesn't have the Holy Ghost, it's still raised up. It'll go to heaven if it gets past the white throne judgment. All right? And the remnant of those, the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. So if the Bible says the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years, he says, then after the millennium, then the second resurrection, the great white throne judgment. See, that's exactly Bible order. But this person wants to know, what about these babies? In other words, did they have the Holy Ghost before they were born? Did they receive it? Now, I cannot tell you, but in getting back now, but wait, it has to come from God. You're my children. I wouldn't tell you. I don't know whether there will be or whether there will not be. I can't say. So, now you got another question. Did the baby receive the Holy Ghost before it died? John had it, right? Did John have the baptism of the Holy Ghost before he was born? Yeah. So did some of the prophets before I knew you. You were in before I knew you in the womb. You know, I ordained you to be prophet. So yes, it's possible. So keep your hope up. Okay. Now, here are monthly questions dealing with, this is another question, dealing with the promise of John 14:12, sonship and placing of sons. You would say the last events and according to the end time prophecies. Okay, so quote number one, what day on Calvary? Now, notice the greater works has to have the power in the church, not only to heal the sick, by prayer, cast out devils by prayer, but to impart eternal life to the believers. So it has to be in the church, what the prophet said. Quote number two, from Be Not Afraid. The works that I do shall you do also, and more than this shall you do. I know the King James says greater, but the emphatic dialogue says more. Couldn't do any greater. He stopped nature, raised the dead. You just do more of it, see? Quantity instead of quality. So question number one. Reading the two quotes above, are there specific works considered as greater works? Well, he just read the quote, and then he asked the question. He should just first read the quote, because Brother Branham said, no, there's no difference. It's just more of. You know? I mean, one plus one is what? Three. Good. All right? So, is one a works? Is two a works? Is one plus one plus one? You know, works plus works plus works is greater works, right? It just means more of them. Okay, so question one, reading the quote above, are there specific works considered as greater, or shall we just consider every works to be the same, but the difference? The difference is in quantity, as the prophet said. Well, that's what the prophet said, so that's what we want to believe. Now, answer to question one. The prophet made it very clear that greater means more than. From question and answer, he said, now the day of Pentecost, it comes down, the pillar of fire, and broke apart like that, and tongues of fire set upon each of them, not their tongues, but tongues of fire set upon each of them, selected group, identified by this pillar of fire, showing that God has separated himself into man. Do you get it? God, the Logos, separating himself into men. God, not in one person. He's in the church universal. That's the reason Jesus said, the works that I do shall you do also. More. Now, I know the King James says greater, but the right translation there is more than this shall you do. God was bottled and confined in one man, Jesus Christ, but now he's bottled and confined in the whole universal church of the living God. Right now, while God is here speaking with us in our hearts, he's in Africa. Okay? He's in Asia. I kind of explained it like this one time. I said, you know, God is in a higher dimension. You believe that? Okay? So, we're down here in this dimension. If half of this church went on this side of the church, and half of this church went on that side of the church, you'd be in two different places, right? But if I'm sitting on top of the church looking down, I can see both sides. That kind of a simple way of explaining to you that God can see all, okay? He's in a dimension that he's not limited to the curvature of the earth or the mountains or the shadows or this and that. With God, there's no shadow of turning. So he can see all, he knows all, all right? So he can be in your presence. At the same time, he's in the presence of people in Africa, all right? So he says he's in Asia, he's in Europe, he's in England. Wherever believers are gathered together, there he is in the midst of them. Okay, so that kind of explains it for you. Now, from the token, he says, you know, Luke said, if all Jesus done would be put in books, there wasn't enough books in the world to write it. Just what I've seen in my own ministry, seen him do, you couldn't pile the volumes on this platform here. If I wrote it in detail, what I've seen him do, just in my own ministry, seen him do it, he had more success in my ministry than he did in his own. Now remember, he had more success not me, but he had. Glory, hallelujah. He had more success in Jeffersonville than he did in Nazareth. He did in that wicked city and this wicked city, amen. Glory, because he could perform no miracle there, but he did here. He finally broke through here. He got it done here. Now, that's a nice way of saying it, okay? From the token, he said he might have had to get people from somewhere else, but he got it done anyhow. So he had more success right here than he did in Capernaum or Nazareth in that. He done more miracles. He done more. Okay, greater than? He done more miracles right here in this tabernacle than he did in the entire ministry on earth. That's right. He did it. Now, what about the rest of the world? Oh my. Now, that's what he has done. Now, remember, he done. Now, I didn't say that I done, see, because I didn't do it. I just stood, and I just loved him and just submitted myself to him and said what he said, and the Holy Spirit went to the other people. They believed what he said, and then he did the work. That's all. So there was more believers in his meetings in Jeffersonville than there was in Nazareth. Okay? So the difference between the works and the greater works is that one is just more of the same works. Just more of the same works. Three is just one plus one plus one, that's all. Works plus works plus works equals greater works. Now you get it? Okay. It's just more works. And he said, we, the elect of the last days, would do the greater works, which means one work here and one work there, and all around the world, the works are being done. And when we add them all up together, it is more than he did. So these people say, well, Brother Branham, you know, he had the greater works. Well, he did have the greater works because he had more in his ministry than Jesus had in his own. But you can't limit it to say, well, that was greater works as Brother Branham, and the church, the bride, everywhere else is just the works. You know, I used to believe that, okay? But I realize now that it's just more than. So it's not a greater miracle. It's not like this and that. It means that you do one, you do one, you do one, you do one, you know, God does them through you. And then you add them all up together. It's greater than what Jesus did, okay? So from Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, he said, if he'll show himself among his people tonight, that he promised, a little while in the world won't see me no more, the believer won't see me. No, they're out there in Sodom, but you won't see me, for I'll be with you even in you. See, the works that I do shall you do also. More than this shall you do. I know the King James says greater, but you get the emphatic diglot and see if it don't say. The King James says greater. You couldn't do greater. Nothing could be done any greater. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He stopped nature, done everything there was, but more shall you also do. More shall you do. Okay? So when we see him stop storms, when we see him change weather, when we see him do all these things, those are works. They're not the greater works, but you start adding all those things up and you realize, plus what he's done in every individual, you realize he's doing more now today than he ever has done before. Okay. So, from be not afraid, he said, he just told that woman one thing, and the whole city repented, and here he's doing more now, for he said, the works that I do shall you do also, and more than this shall you do. I know the King James says greater, but the emphatic diglot says more. Couldn't do any greater. He stopped nature. Okay, that's the work of God. Look at Ezekiel laid on his side for, what was it, 340 days, something like that? That's the work of God. I'd like to see any one of you try to lay on your side for 340 days. You get tired after a week. You probably get tired after a day. All right? And then he laid down his other side for another 40 days. So that was the works of God, okay? Now, quantity instead of quality. All right, so question number three. In the first quote, Revelation chapter 1, he that believes on me, St. John 14:7, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, do the same works and greater than this, because Christ cannot preach the baptism of the Holy Ghost would be greater. He could not bring it to them because the Holy Ghost hadn't been given yet. But when Jesus come and sanctified his life and the Holy Ghost returned, then they could impart eternal life to the people. That's the greater. Who is they in the quote above? Well, we know that eternal life is given through God's called men, according to Romans 10 and 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear on him without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Well, now, don't just limit it to the fivefold. If you share the gospel with somebody, like the woman who the husband was drunk, you know, he said, we're going to act like we're drunk. He was with his drinking buddies, and he threw the eggs on the floor, and she just picked him up and swept him up and didn't revile back to her husband who had reviled her, but said, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. All right. And by that, she won them to Christ. That is a greater works. All right. Because it's Jesus didn't do that during his day until the cross. Then he came down and then he could impart life. Okay. So, but when he said it, the works that I'm doing, all right, that was before the cross. Okay, so from Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. Notice if Jesus did those things in that day and he has raised from the dead and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he's obligated to his word. Now, his corporal body sits at the right hand of God. You believe that, don't you? But the Holy Spirit is here working through the sanctified vessels. Notice, this is plural. How many of you are sanctified? How many of you got a vessel? I hope you all have a vessel. That's his body. Because if you don't have a vessel, you're just out of here, okay? I mean, all right. But the Holy Spirit is here working through his sanctified vessels. And God has set in the church what? First apostles, then prophets, then teachers, then evangelists, then pastors. Okay, so answer to question number three. The answer is, they is speaking of anyone who is born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. Because if you have been lit by the Holy Ghost, your candle has been lit, and you give that candle light to someone else and they get lit, now that lit came off of you who came off of the Holy Ghost. So it's just like in the seven church ages, there was a type in the Old Testament. They took the first candle, they took the light from off of the pillar fire, and then they lit the first candle. Then they lit the second candle with the same light that they got from the pillar fire, because it was on the candle. Then they took the second one and they lit the third one, and took the third one, they lit the fourth, took the fourth, they lit the fifth, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So that's the Holy Ghost during the church ages. Okay? In other words, everyone who received the Holy Ghost got it from somebody. All right? So, the answer is they is speaking of anyone who is born again filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, question number four. For greater than Solomon is here, I quoted that once, and a man said, sure, we do the greater works. We preach the gospel to the world. He didn't do it in his day. I said, just show me the works that he did first, and then we'll talk about the greater. All right? In other words, don't be pompous and say, well, I do the greater works. And why don't you do the works first? You know? And I said, just show me the works that he did, and then we'll talk about the greater. See, is there possible then to list works and greater works? In other words, is there a list of works and a greater works? It's all the same. All right? It's just more of. You know, to impart life is more of the same, because you're doing it, and people are in Asia are doing it, and people in South America are doing it, and you know, people in America are doing it. So it's all the same. Answer to question number four. In Brother Bram's sermon, he did list a number of works, and in my sermon series on that message, I showed that anything God has you do is a work of God. Even Ezekiel laying on his side 340 days is a work of God. But there is not a list of works and then another list of greater works. It's the same thing. Works and then more of the same. Okay? So from question and answers, adoption number one, Brother Vail said, now we're coming to the age, we're coming into this age. Now, as this subject has been taught to us by Brother Bram, it is difficult for most people to see what he was driving at, because they consistently confuse sonship with the placing of sons. In other words, a child of God and then placing that same child of God as a son. So can you make the difference between sonship and placing of sons more clearly for our understanding? Okay, so the answer to that is, remember how we preach stature and state. Stature is what you are. In other words, you're a son of God, while state is what condition you're in. Are you ready for are you just a baby, or are you ready for adoption, or are you somewhere in between? That's your state. But your stature is that you have been born again. Can you understand that? So the difference then between the placing of a son and sonship is that you are a son. Behold, you know, beloved, you know, all, you know, we are now sons of God, but it doth not yet show what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. So that is your state that you're in, okay? So sonship is who you are, while placement is where you are in the process of being placed in your position as sons. How far you are in the process of becoming an adopted son. Am I a teenager? Am I a fully mature adult? Am I still a baby? Am I a juvenile? You know, am I somewhere along that process? Okay, now question number six. Will the placing of sons, which is adoption, take place during the resurrection season? Well, the answer to question number six is the last answer also answers this question. So I would say yes, but it's consummated with the new garment, which will be the body change, which Paul calls, to wit, the redemption of the body. Because remember, he says the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. Now, can a man be placed before the adoption? Well, Jesus was, right? Jesus was, and yet God came down on Mount Transfiguration, and he adopted him, showing he is pleasing to me. So you can be placed as a fivefold ministry. You can be placed as a housewife. You can be placed in your position, and then God will prove that you are a son by the adoption, by the change of the body. It's just wonderful, okay? Now, can a man be placed before the adoption? I will answer that with a question. Is a man placed on a job and given a six-month probation period for his job? Is he positionally placed yet? Peter, you've gone through this many times. You know, you've hired people that you say, okay, you've got the job, but, you know, you've got a 90-day probation period. Well, does a person have the job or not? Has it been placed or not? All right? So at the end of 90 days, you know, then he's officially whatever. But just so you know, God can take a man in his fivefold ministry and place him, positionally place him to teach or to preach or to evangelize. And he's doing what God told him to do. Now, he hasn't received his body change yet. He hasn't received the confirmation. So you're kind of all in doubt until that time, okay? But if he's called of God, he's not in doubt. He knows what God sent him to do, okay? Question number seven. Level, from who is this Melchizedek? Number two, peace to the righteous. Paragraph 68. Now, in this greater tremendous channel, Lord, that you have given us flowing from you to the prophet, notice the Lord to the prophet, and to us and back to God until it becomes a veritable cyclotron agitating the very atoms in our bodies to be to a complete change. Now, so what does he mean by a veritable cyclotron? Well, first of all, what does the word veritable mean? Changing. What is a cyclotron? It's like a whirlwind. It's just getting faster and faster, okay? So the answer is, what it means to be veritable cyclotron is that God's word keeps revealing to us at a faster and faster rate. You remember when you come in the message 40 years ago and everything was a question mark? Everything was, wow, he said that, wow, he said that. You didn't know. But now you look back upon all those things and all those times and all the information he's giving you, and you've got it rightly placed. You've got it. You've got the word of God rightly placed, okay? You know, you don't see one scripture here, Judas went out and hung himself, and over here you read, and go ye therefore and do likewise. You know, you say, that doesn't make any sense, okay? You've got it rightly placed, okay? And that's the like the cyclotron. It's coming faster and faster and faster, but it's all coming to, you know, you're in a position now that you weren't 20 years ago. You weren't 10 years ago. Everything is making sense, okay? Because you're getting close to adoption time. When I was a child, I learned as, I spoke as a child, but when I become a man, I put away childish thinking. So when I was a child, if I was in, say, first grade and they gave me a 12th grade exam, I would have difficulty with it. But now that I'm no longer a child, but I'm a man, I can look at a 12th grade exam and say, well, it's just very easy. I can do this without even thinking about it. Okay? So see what God has done for you. Don't think, well, God is, you know, he's deserted me and I'm on my own and this and that. No, what do you know now? What did you know then? Now you can see that the hand of God is moving you from a baby up through the ranks, okay? All right, so question number 8. After the USA went through Democrat regime with so much evil as homosexuals, transgender, medical system cares with big pharma, wars in Ukraine, etc., Donald Trump's speech during the inauguration day appeared as the American leader supposed to make the U.S. be prosperous with his words, make America great again. Don't you think that it's now really that his policies will fulfill Daniel 8? If so, will be then the fulfillment of the verse 25, that he shall also stand up against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without hand. Shall we keep in mind the Catholic Leonardo 3 satellites? Okay. Well, the answer to 8 is, all I know is God interprets his word by bringing it to pass. I will have to wait until the 10th to ask Brother Branham exactly what it means. But apparently there are some things that happen, and we think maybe he was not broken. But have you ever thought, now, is he a broken man and now surrenders himself? We would say, is he just ready now to play ball? And now that he's been broken, he is willing to be used to unite the Catholic Church and the Protestant Church together. Before, wouldn't even come close to it. But now, he's not only prepared to unite the Catholic Church, because look, he's got all these Catholics on his, you know, he's hired Tulsi Gabbard and all these people are Catholic, right? And he is almost Jewish himself. So, you know, it doesn't matter if he's Jew, Catholic, Protestant, they're all the same, you see? So now he's been broken in his heart, okay? As he's willing to stop wars around the world and bring peace, isn't the time that will be fulfilled? Well, 1 Thessalonians says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Will the sudden destruction be the fulfillment of Brother Bram's seventh vision? Well, the answer to question 9, then, is Donald Trump made a statement that he wants his legacy to be known as one of peace. He will be the peace president. That fits in precisely with the sudden destruction coming. See, when don't be looking for things that all of a sudden Trump's going to get put out again and all this bad stuff's going to happen and the economy's going to go and blah, 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 blah. Look, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes. So the sudden destruction doesn't come when it's all, you know, when there's a whirlwind and all the trials and tribulations are happening. Sudden destruction comes when there's peace and safety. So, you know, verses 24 has already happened. Now, question number 10. We have noticed that Donald Trump is working so closely with religious people than other former U.S. presidents did. Isn't that a channel for these denominational churches and systems to be pressing on Christians through politics, as the prophet said, in Jezebel religion? Certainly nobody's going to stop her now, because what they couldn't get in religious circles, they have cut into politics, and there it'll be done. Uh-huh, that's exactly what they've done. Which the political would be a boycott, just exactly back to the mark of the beast, I'm sure, as sure as I'm standing here, see, and the Bible said. So the answer to question number 10, That is precisely what Brother Branham taught us, and we have taught the same since 2020. We've been very aware since 2020 that it moves. Everybody's always looking for the religious part of things, you know. We were, and then we realized, and over here in Middletown, Brother Branham told us when they can't get it done in religious circles, they cut it up into politics, and there it'll get done. So we're looking at the system now is in place, okay? So the answer to 10, this is precisely what Brother Branham taught, and we have taught the same since 2020. Now, question number 11. My question is this. What do all of President Donald Trump's decrees mean according to Daniel 8, 24 to 25? Can we expect that Donald Trump will be removed from the presidency of the United States for this reason? Sincerely, Brother Eduardo Torres Peru. Well, the question to number 11, the answer to number 11 is, and now notice also, just for your understanding, question 10 about Donald Trump in the same kind of scenario came out of Africa. This one's coming out of Peru. So the brothers now are starting to think, all right? They're all starting to think alike. So the answer to number 11 is that Donald Trump has already been broken without hand when he was received, when he was removed from his role. And actually, he is a more powerful example of Daniel 8, 24-25, since he is a second chance, and I'd like to explain. This time around, he is a broken man in his heart. He wasn't broken back then in his heart. He was still defiant. He was still, you know, in your face. Now he's broken in his heart. They try to keep him off the ballot in four states. Think about that. They try to convict him of something that the statutes of limitation expired many, many years ago, and it wasn't even his fault. It was his tax man that posted that payment under legal. All right? And then the woman who sued him said it was not rape, but the media said it was. All right? I expect him to sue them for perhaps billions breaking them, but I think he may have to wait until after 4 years, as I do not know if the president can sue while he's in office. But his trials were dropped in Fulton County, Georgia, where they wanted to try him for saying the 2020 election was rigged. It didn't matter that Hillary Clinton said that for all the 4 years of his presidency, or that Al Gore said that for all the years of George Bush's presidency. And notice how supernaturally everything was cleaned up. Now, a man can't do that. Look at how Fulton County unraveled because of the woman prosecuting him had a sex affair with her, with a guy she hired for $650,000. See how all of this came to be? God just showed the stupidity of what they were doing. And he also showed that Donald Trump was his man. Now, I don't say that, you know, first of all, I don't say he's elect, okay? He doesn't understand the things you understand. But I will say this. Yeah, I used to be against him because he was married three times, okay? But you know what? Brother Branham said, if a man believes that Jesus Christ is his Lord and Savior, he's my brother. And Donald Trump has proclaimed throughout the whole nation that Jesus Christ is his Lord, and he saved him from the bullet, and he knows that he saved him from the bullet for a certain purpose. All right. Now, I have three brothers. Two of them have been married twice. They're still my brothers. All right? I can't change that. They're my brothers. And I have a third one married three times, and I can't change that either. He's still my brother. So, you see, Donald Trump may have been married several times. That don't change the fact that he believes Jesus Christ is his Lord and Savior. So, all right. So it didn't matter that, like I said, Hillary Clinton said the same thing and Al Gore said the same thing for 8-10 years now. They never tried them. You see how foolish the whole thing was. And in Florida, in his New York trial for appraising his property for higher than the tax department appraisal, they said his property in Mar-a-Lago, Florida, was only worth $18 million because the tax department had it on the books for 18 to 37. Well, now, isn't 37 twice what 18 is? It's more than that. So maybe they should go after the tax department because they said it's 18, and they said, well, it could be 37. You see how stupid that is? The bank said that they had no qualm with deals with Trump and that both parties made money on the deal, and the banks were paid back, so there was no crime. So why are they treated as a crime? Politics. There was not a crime. It was all politics. Just like Brother Branham said, it would turn from religion to politics. Having paid taxes for years, I know the county taxes our property at 1/3 of its value. That is standard procedure, okay? Somewhere around there. Anyone would be nuts to complain that they should be taxed at a higher rate. Have any of you ever asked your lawyer or asked your county, well, wait a minute, you only appraised my property at this and this, and it's worth twice or three times that amount? You'd have to be nuts. You want to pay the tax on three times the amount? Personally, I don't think they should have. They should ever increase from what you paid for it when you bought it until you sell it. Like in California years ago, they had a law that if you bought it at $60,000, then you paid your tax on $60,000 until the day you die. But they changed that after Newsom and some of those guys got in. My mother, when she bought her house, she paid for like $27,000. She ended up selling it for like $200,000+, but she never had to raise her taxes because, you know, until she sold it, then the new people had to pay the taxes, okay? So personally, I don't think, like I said, that they should ever raise your taxes, but because that is a form of taxing you for potential value instead of actual. That's what Biden wanted to do. Well, let's just tax everybody's 401k for what we think that they might be worth. Oh, yeah. Can you imagine that? Taxing people for what you think it might be worth someday? Things change from year to year. Now notice they took the lower number when many real estate tycoons have said it was worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and there's a zero chance that he would even sell it for $40,000 to $50,000, which is 3 to 4 times their $18,000 number. So some range it that it's worth billions. After all, it was made to be, when it was built, it was made to be the Southern White House. Now, just so you know, that when you buy a property, you develop the property. You add fences, you add driveways, you add this and you add that. All of that increases the value. Well, when Trump bought Mar-a-Lago for $10 million, they balked at it and said, no, it's got to be worth a lot more than that. So he bought the property between Mar-a-Lago and the ocean. Did you know that? Yeah. He said, hey, if you don't sell me this, I'll just buy this. So he actually went over and bought that property. It was a swamp. And he just bought that land. And now they couldn't develop it or nothing. So they had to sell it to him for 10. All right. Then, by combining the two into the same deed, now all of a sudden you've got all these big acreage from a big lake on the one side to the ocean on the other side, and you've got all this beautiful land, and now the place just went skyrocket. The man knows real estate, okay? So, you know, if somebody came to Justin and said, you know, you've got 56 acres, and so, you know, when you bought it for a tenth of what is bought now, all right? And you did it because you understand investment, okay? You understand how things, you know, not what they appraise now, but what they will be appraised, okay? So that's how you do business. So I don't fault Trump for that. I don't say, well, he's a billionaire because he took advantage of poor people. No, he didn't, because the people that work for him, I mean, he'd go into the kitchens and pay people a couple $100 and say, look, I'm gonna have some special guests here tonight, so I'm going to give everybody the night off, but I'm going to pay you $200 each. Take it and, you know, have fun. And that's what he did. So don't put a man down that's always been very giving, okay? Now, as for broken out of hand, which means without his own power, it is true that he has already been fulfilled. That's already been fulfilled. He was taken out. He belonged to be between 20 and 24. He belonged to be there, but he wasn't. Why? Because he probably would not have been the unifier that he is now. He would not have been broken in his heart and also willing to do the bidding of the Catholic Church that he's going to do now. So I don't say that he is a man, but I believe he is a man, okay? Now, so as for broken out of hand. It is true that this has already been fulfilled. No man has been broken more than this man, and yet he was down and lost many of his so-called supporters. But during this time, he was rejected. We found out who his real true friends were and who were just friends for expediency. In other words, the politicians like McConnell and different people that, you know, kind of, you know, the word suck up, it means that, you know, they were just like a vacuum cleaner. They just, you know, they just suck up to him, right? But in many ways, he is like King David, who lost his throne. David lost his throne. Did you know that? David lost his throne, only to take it back years later. We do have a biblical comparison. The Bible says in Psalm 37 and 24, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his right hand. But that did not stop the deep state under Biden from trying lawfare and using bullets and false accusations, etc. He didn't, you know, the woman that accused him of having cohorting with her in the women's dressing thing, she had read it in a book years before. It was a play that in the same location, there was similar accusations were made. And so she just incorporated it into her story. And 20 or 30 years later, said, oh, this happened to me. She never met the man, I'm sure. If she had, you know, it's doubtful that he would have even taken two looks at her, because she was not his type. Believe me, she's not my type. Steve, is she your type? I don't think she is. Okay. I know she's not Peter's type. So, you know, she is not the type that a man would want to have. She's about as beastly as they look, okay? So, anyway, so the Bible says, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. But that didn't stop the Biden lawfare, bullets and false accusations. They didn't want him back. They tried to totally ruin this man. Therefore, based on scripture, all I can say is God has a plan for this man which no other man can do. Now, I'm not lifting Trump up. I'm saying that like Cyrus in the Old Testament, 100 years before Cyrus was born, Isaiah 9 and I think it's 5, it's foretold, my shepherd Cyrus shall do this and this and this and restore the kingdom to Israel and build the wall. 100 years before he's even born. So when he did come in, Daniel, I'm sure, was administrator to all those kings. There's like 4 of them. So I'm sure Daniel told him. And so I think I have it written down here. Anyway, one of the prophets that lived about 4 prophets after Isaiah, he's quoting Cyrus as saying, the Lord, my God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, has called me to rebuild the wall. Okay? Trump said, I know God restored me, kept me alive for a reason, and I'm going to do his bidding. And he has come on like a whirlwind, and he's getting the job done. So pray for the man, and where he ends up at the White Throne, I have no clue. I'm not putting on the praises of the man. I'm just saying he is God's man to do a certain task. Now, what other man would unite the Catholics and the Protestants together? It wouldn't be a Democrat, because they all hate the Catholics. It wouldn't be a Republican, because they love the Catholics and they don't like so much the evangelicals. But this man is surrounded by evangelicals and Catholic people. So there's no other man in the history of this nation that I think could have been raised up to do the job. So look how Moses fell. From second to Pharaoh, second in command of all of Egypt, the most powerful world, most powerful army in earth, which is just like today, he fell to being a shepherd. Yet God raised him up to do the task assigned him to do. He tried to do it on his own, like Trump did the first time, and he just killed a dead Egyptian. Okay? Look at Peter, totally fallen from grace. denying Christ three times and yet was lifted by that same grace to be a leader of the church. Look at our eldest brother, Jesus. The devil thought he had him down, and God raised him up again, and he sat with his Father in his throne. He has become the Savior of the world, and he would not have accomplished that without the fall. Okay? Read the masterpiece. Brother Bram talks about the strike Michelangelo left, you know, the mark that Michelangelo left on the statue of Moses. And we would not know that the statue measured up to Michelangelo's mind had it not been for that strike mark by the hammer on the knee. So God lifted him up, but that does not mean he is a true believer. He may be a nominal one at best, but the near-death experience made him realize his mortality, and it humbled him. And I'm sure David and Samson both were humbler as a result of their fall. You can see he is a broken man, as in Daniel said he would be. There are more ways to break a man than one. And although the fall has humbled him quite a bit and all the things that he went through, but I am looking for him to bring the churches together to fulfill what Brother Branham prophesied would come. God only can predestinate a man to do what he is ordained to do, and no one else can do it the way God ordained it. Just like God prophesied about his servant, Cyrus, he would restore Jerusalem 106 years before it ever took place. God used this heathen king, Cyrus, to rebuild Jerusalem and call him his shepherd. We see in Isaiah 44:28, which was written 712 years before, that saith of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple, thy foundation shall be built. So God ordained 106 years before the Cyrus was going to do it. And it had to do with the temple being rebuilt. And 106 years before, they hadn't even been taken captive yet. They were there for only 70 years. You see? And so the people must have heard Isaiah, and they thought, this guy's crazy. I mean, you know, he said this 30 years ago, it still hadn't happened yet. Well, it did happen, and then 70 years they were in bondage. And so we see the fulfillment in Daniel, which took place 606 BC, so that about 106 years later, and in Daniel 9:25, the place referred to is Jerusalem. The decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem is attributed to Cyrus the Great by Ezra, a prophet who lived after Daniel about 458 BC. In Ezra 1 and 2 it says, thus saith King Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven. So he wasn't a complete heathen. The Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him in a house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. So I see the same thing taking place today. So even though he acknowledged what God was doing for him, like President Trump, who declared, my life was spared by God because God isn't finished with me yet. And as Brother Bram said, as long as any man says in his heart, Jesus is Lord and Jesus is our Savior, he is my brother, so we must pray for him. And President Trump said, I want to be known as the peace and safety president. And for this purpose, God sent him into the world. Can you imagine Jesus when he went to the cross? He said, they wanted to keep him from doing it. He said, but for this purpose, I was sent here. Well, for this purpose, to be the peace and safety president, God placed me here, kept the bullet from hitting my face and exploding my head. So he is a unifier. One who can bring opposing factions together, and he wants to be known as the peace and safety president. He knows what he was predestinated for, and that's better than many who call themselves bride that they know, okay? We know God foreordained us to the adoption of children, so we're supposed to step into it, but many people that claim to believe the message don't even know how they're going to make it. They're just trusting that they're going to make it. And above all, he claims He wants to end the persecution of Christians. Now, that also makes him your brother. That too would make him my brother. And no other president wanted to do that. Just think of it. No other president wanted to do that. So he is unique. So what if he had more than one wife? He did take care of them all. You know that. David had 500 and Solomon had 1,000. They both took care of them all. So can we justifiably hate one and love the other for making the same mistake? And the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. So whether he accomplishes his goals or not, the clock has begun now to ticking itself down for the destruction. The deep state will do anything, including provoking a war, to avoid the right from being in control. And to show it is Satan and the people on the left are incapable of repentance, when the world is destroyed, they will try to destroy the camp of the elect when they are raised up in the second resurrection at the end of the millennium. They haven't learned their lesson, and God will destroy them and send them to the lake of fire as he promised to do even before they reach the encampment of God's elect. Read Revelation 20:7-15. So prepare my brothers and sisters for the soon resurrection ministry and then the going home. God bless you all. Dear Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this word. And Lord, we just bless, just ask you to bless it. And we pray, Lord, that truly everything that we think and say would be run through the channel of vindication of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Will the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you.